Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 712. Struggling, just trying to get this thing going, having lots of fun, just mostly struggling. Anyway, so last time I talked about the non-player character, I kind of alluded to the fact that I was going to change subjects and then tie them together. Now, some time has passed between from that recording when I had something in my head, and of course, I've lost it, which I habitually do. This is Jay Nemro. Hang on, I got a call here. Wow, just more and more interesting things going on all the time, taking care of other problems that are coming up. I'm going to get on the road here. People probably won't be able to contact me anymore, and that might be a good thing. Okay, pardon me. Anyway, this is Jay and Jay Nemro, and this podcast is all about people who are not really people, about the whole experience of being a Zenith, which is kind of another word I have for kind of the whole cluster of autistic Asperger's, ADHD. The whole concept of being kind of an alien living on Earth, born and reared here, but knowing that you really aren't like these other people around here, you know? That's okay. They're nice people, and I appreciate it. Sometimes I call them locals, and sometimes I get kind of at them because, you know, they don't understand, and they figure that you're just like them. And when you come at it from that, misunderstandings and bad communication and everything that comes with just two different people that really come from two different worlds, and everybody suspects that everybody else is good or is just like them, kind of falls apart. I kind of think of it as the it's a small world syndrome, which is actually a problem that locals have, or some locals have, who haven't had an interface with a whole different sort of person, like people from a different culture. It's becoming less and less so. I think it's a real syndrome that came up in like the 50s and the early 60s, and I call it the it's a small world syndrome because from that ride at Disneyland, when I was a kid, I lived right close to Anaheim, California. Disneyland was 5 minutes from where I live, well, 5 miles, that's probably about half an hour in California traffic, from where I lived. I think I only went there maybe twice, from age of zero to the age of eight when we left California and came to New Mexico, which is in about 1,000 miles away. Different culture, honestly. So I guess I have some idea of different cultures, but it goes deeper than that. Anyway, I actually went to Disneyland more after I left California than when I lived there, within 5 miles of it. Just kind of a funny aside. But I went to Disneyland once, and the ride, the small world, got stuck with me partway in it and parts of my family. And for 3 hours straight, I listened to the whole little thing. Even now, it kind of makes me nuts. When, you know, you kind of listen to the whole thing. And I think I was listening to the Chinese version of it, with a little bit of English. You could hear the next little section of the ride. You could hear the English version, but you're kind of going, "Hey, Mom, Hong, you know, something like that. I don't mean to offend Chinese people, but that's kind of how it sounds to people who don't speak Chinese. It's just kind of going gim gum gibberish to us, and it's not meant to be offensive at all. I'm sure English, you know, when they try to sound like somebody who's speaking English, they do the same kind of thing. You know, I don't want to be offensive, but that's it. Anyway, so I got stuck in this ride listening to the whole thing. It's a world of naps, you're a world of tears, it's a world of home, and, you know. And it just, you know, it just kind of bangs around in your head horribly. after just 3 hours of it being pounded into you by this kind of classical conditioning garbage. But that whole attitude of, you know, people would paint a picture of the world how it looks from space. And they would paint little pictures of a little Swedish girl with her little wooden shoes on and her little braided golden, you know, blonde hair, and then you'd get a picture of this little Hispanic dude with his serape on. You know, all these kids wear their traditional garb, you know, the Chinese, you know, a little Chinese girl with little pigtails and wearing it's not a kimono, that's Japanese, but anyway, some kind of traditional wear there, you know, and they tried to pick, you know, and then a little African boy, you know, dark skinned with what you would think would be traditional African wear, which there isn't traditional African wear because there's, you know, 50 countries there, maybe less. I don't know. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of tribes, and they all were kind of different, you know, and the traditionalism. You might have little, you know, and those were the traditional things. You had kind of a, it was important in America that your white kid, you always made sure it was a girl because girls are always nicer than boys are. And you always made sure that it wasn't an American sort because, you know, back in those days, Americans were cowboys. And you didn't want anybody who was violent, and cowboys were really violent. So you would get a nice little, like, Swedish Miss type girl, the one that's on the little hot chocolate ass. You would get somebody like that. And that was the picture. They would all have their hands clasped and be dancing around this whole world. Because we're all the same, you know. We all have, you know, we may have different colored hair, different colored skin. Our bone structure may be different. But when it comes right down to it, we're all just exactly the same, right? And that was the whole attitude back in the 50s and 60s. And what we're finding out now is that that's not true. We're not the same. We're a lot different. Highlighted by Middle Easterners where you find no intersect between them. They hate each other. Some people more than others. Some people want to get along, but when it comes right down to it, there's cultural things that just will not mesh. It's just not there. The Palestinians want the Israelis out of what they perceive to be their country. The Israelis want to stay there because they have a tradition that this was their homeland from 10,000 years ago. Sorry, only probably about 4,000 years ago. Anyway, and that they won't be displaced again. And you can see both sides of that conflict. But there's no way that they can live together in peace because they can't just go past the fact that we can all be together and sing Kumbaya, you know. That whole issue comes up. So I call that, it's a small world syndrome. And even though in a lot of ways we don't think that way anymore, because when you see the real honest part of the universe, the fact that in a very universal sense, it can never happen. Cultures like the way they do things, and sometimes that's in direct opposition to somebody else. And the only way that one can have peace with those people is to keep a little distance from them. And in the past, that was considered so evil, so wicked, so nasty. You know, your next door neighbor had to be from another country and speak another language, and you were supposed to go and bring covered dishes back and forth to each other on each other's cultural heritage days, because we were also trying to get rid of religions too, because religions were evil, even though religion actually ends up informing most of our cultures. You know, it's just like that. You know, it really didn't work. But we still have that we were still trained up to have that need. So that when somebody who comes by you and you think they should be from your culture, they speak the same language you do, they look a lot like you do, when you have locals and Zenith, it's just an example that even though they may look like you, they may talk like you, they may even have the same accent you do because they grew up in the same town with you, that doesn't mean they're like you. That's what happened. You know, I always talked about the fact that I felt like I was a stranger in my own hometown. And it's true. So anyway, that's all about that it's a small world syndrome. You know, and it always comes down, you know, it doesn't come down to a whole acceptance issue. What it comes down to is a conformance issue. It's always that way. You look like me, you smell like me, you talk like me, you better the heck act like me. And if you don't, we're going to treat you like garbage. You know, until you do. Or until we can lord over you, you know. And that becomes one of the criteria for being a nasty person. Is that you force other people to behave the way you think they should. Or the way you want them to. And it just depends on what kind of person you are as to how that happens. The fact that I do not live in a dominant culture that is like me, I don't know if there ever can be a dominant culture like me, makes problems. So, you know, I guess the big interface between this episode and episode 711 is the fact that when you're a non-player character, people can't accept that. Or when you act like a non-player character. I'm not saying they are one. We certainly act like one. That we, you know, they can't just leave us to do our thing, you know. There was some adventure games where they started getting really kind of open. It started being a little more open-ended. You could actually affect things a lot more than what was possible when it was just you were kind of being led through a scenario, a puzzle. You know, under most circumstances, under the old rules, if you were interfacing with a player character, if you were typing, you know, questions to a player character, and you didn't like what they were saying, you couldn't hit them, you couldn't do really much action. They would just say, I don't understand what you mean, you know, or you really can't do that here. You know, but then there came up some ones where it lets you kill that person. Of course, you would lose whatever further efficacy it might have, and you would learn that you didn't kill people because they might have some piece of information that would help you later. Anyway, so, yada, 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 yada. Talk about all that. Well, in these more exotic games, you would be able to. Right, yeah, okay, so. I already said that. Sorry, pardon me. And, it's kind of like what happens in this world. It isn't just enough that people let you live and let you do what they want. No, no, no. You know, there's a conformance issue here. You look like me, you smell like me, your feet have the same number of toes as mine, you know, you speak the same language, I look at your birth certificate and it says you were born in the same basic region I was, you know, therefore, you have to behave this way. Schools are really bad at this, you know, when they say, boy, Jay's really anti-school, and you go, only because every social ill that there is, every bad attitude, every hypocrisy that resides in a culture is concentrated and magnified in that culture's school system. And the fact that in the United States, in most developed countries of the world, these things are controlled by government, and by government fiat they must be a certain way, that it doesn't work. Well, no, that it's forced, you know. There are certain cultures that are appeased in schools, that are the way that schools, that the basic larger culture wants them to be, and there's a whole bunch of things that aren't acceptable. And I was noticing, I went actually to a large church meeting yesterday, and what came up was cultural differences between whites and Hispanics. English speakers, Spanish speakers, however you want to shake down that difference, it came up, and it came up pretty darn strong, that those people didn't feel like they were being taken care of in a church that in our area is predominantly white and English speaking. That they don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like that this church has anything to offer them. Which is, I'm sorry, totally unacceptable for the simple reason that, you know, it's the gospel. It's a universal. God wants everybody to hear this gospel, wants everybody to be able to participate in it and do something with it. And so we have to accommodate that. But, you know, I said, I'm not going to say, oh, but we can't do that. I said, yeah, we need to be able to do that. We need to see beyond that stuff. And, of course, the whole thing is, well, there's cultural differences. And so, well, there's certain parts of certain cultures that don't mesh with the gospel. And so we can't accommodate those cultures. And it becomes that big struggle there between what needs to happen and what really kind of wants to happen. You know, I really wish the church would lighten up on their whole issue about beer. You know, Hispanics love their beer. They love their tequila. They love it, stuff like that. It tends to be the cultural liquid in which they bathe. You know, they don't want to act like a bunch of white people. And you go, well, no, okay. But the church can't be in favor of alcohol, for instance. And that's it. Well, can we make Mormons that are okay with alcohol? No. Oh, then I guess I can't be a Mormon. You're not accepting my culture. It's like, oh, you know. So you kind of struggle with these things. Some of the struggles are legitimate. Some are, but some aren't. Some are just holding on to old ideas that were bad and wrong and need to be gotten rid of, but it kind of got integrated into the culture a little bit. The whole kind of Central South American machismo attitude where the father is the ultimate law and what he says goes and whatever, and what anybody else thinks is, you know, tertiary, if it's anything at all. Even considered, you know, and that, you know, and the whole thing about patriarchy and stuff like that. The church has a bit of that, but you've got to be a pretty accommodating and nice and loving patriarch. Where other cultures, it isn't like that at all. The patriarch says goes, and if he's in a drunken rage and he's angry, everybody is expected to still do exactly what he says, even in a drunken rage. You know. I'm not saying that's the way, you know, I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm not even here to explain this is what I think is going on. Just given as a story, does that necessarily have to be true, that tries to make kind of a point that some cultures are compatible, some aren't, and these things are going to happen, and sometimes you just have to agree to be separate and to stay separate. Fortunately, circumstances sometimes throw us together. And that American liberal socialistic / communistic sensibilities that a lot of people have had drummed into them by schools that were trying to integrate different cultures together have really left us with problems, because a lot of people choose not to accept the fact that people really are different. They still want to say, no, 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 people are all the same. Don't you understand? When I poke you with a knife, you bleed. And you go, well, guess what? My culture, poking with a knife is great. It's a fun way to tell people what you feel about them, but in other cultures, it's not. Uh-oh, we have a problem here. that's, I guess, what I'm kind of getting to here with this kind of a thing. There are different cultures. And that, being a non-player character, perhaps, is something that just kind of comes, you know, I can't say it's really a culture, because culture is usually something that's not only inborn, but to a certain degree chosen. At some point, you want to honor your past. It's like my wife. My wife's last name is Tomplet. It's spelled T-E-M-P-L-E-T. It is a French Cajun, that is from her French Cajun heritage. Her parents, it comes from her father, her parents did not mind the fact that the anglicized version of it was pronounced Templet. She didn't accept that. She wanted to be pronounced the way that a French person, a French speaker, would pronounce it. So she pronounced it Templet. And so I did that too, because I'm married to her, and it's important that I support her causes, even though her family thinks it's silly. And of course, everybody who reads her name says, yeah, your name, Harry Templet. And they just got tired of trying to correct them, even though they came from a place, I mean, they lived in New Orleans, the only really Francophone sort of, and Francophile place in the United States. Nobody else really even touches their French culture, if there was any there to begin with at all. So that's kind of, so, you know, you have conflicts that way. The parents wanted to appease the larger American English, you know, culture, so they let people call them by what would be the English pronunciation of their last name, where my wife didn't. She said, my name is Tomplet. My name is not Templet. And so, yeah. So that creates some friction, too. Other people say, oh, just give up on it. Come on. You live in America now. You speak English, and most Americans, including maybe even them, we all hate the French because they don't do what we want them to do. We hate them. We decide that things should be called victory fries instead of French fries because they don't support our foreign policy. Like, we think they should, because we're the rulers of the universe, and they're not. And France just kind of thumbs their nose and says, we're going to have a foreign policy we want to have. And we're not going to be dictated to by a bunch of freaking Americans. You know. And that's cultural, that's nationalism, that's all those things kind of mixed up into a weird ball. And I guess one of the big issues is sometimes non-player characters really don't care. Really don't give a flip. And that's troublesome to a lot of cultures, you know. You moved from India to the United States and you took jobs here. And we don't like that, you know. Indians should stay in India and do what they're supposed to be doing there. You know, and apparently, NPC Zenith, maybe I should start calling him that there, non-player character Zenith, may not care about that. There's a whole lot of things that people just didn't care about. You know, they latched on to their obsession, and that was their obsession. And if it didn't happen to be some culturally acceptable thing that became the obsession, you know, you might have bigger problems. Like right now, let me tell you, I finally came across somebody else who actually lives in my town, who's actually a friend of mine that I know, that I speak with in the flesh. Non-Zenith local person who came to the same determination that I came to a couple of episodes ago. That says, you know what, we believe in the Constitution of the United States, we believe in liberty and freedom, and what's basically happened is, the United States government and a lot of the people from the United States of America, people normally called Americans, although that's a little cocky because, you know, everybody on this continent, North and South, should be able to call themselves Americans and get away with it. But no, we're cocky because we started our country first, I guess. Excuse me. We're saying, hey, maybe it's time to separate. Maybe American, liberal-minded, leaning toward being like Europe, but, you know, feeling like we're still going to be independent of them. Kind of an animal, no, not Animal Farm, kind of a 1984-ish type of East Asia and Eurasia Federation things, you know. Even though they're almost exactly the same and they have almost exactly the same things in common, they have a professional hatred for each other, even though it's not really based on anything anymore. Ingstock and the East Asians, you know, and you even saw there was an alliance shift, you know, and everybody all of a sudden started saying, oh, we've always been at war with those guys, and they've always been our friends, but you know from just looking at it that that's not true. The shift just happened a couple of weeks ago. Everybody's going back and changing all the news stories to change the names and to change the places where horrible things were happening so that it could be put out that they've always been our enemies. They've always been evil. These allies of ours and of theirs have always been their friends. And it's like, what? What's this crap? What's this crap coming from? That's not true. It's like, you know, we create what the truth is. And that's almost what's happened. Being cultural is more important than being right or than being truthful or just trying to find honesty. You know, it's much more important to be loyal. That's what's happened a lot in the United States, especially since 9/11. The big thing where planes were flown into the World Trade Centers in New York City. You know, truth and honesty and wanting to know what really happened is now pointless. The only thing that's important now is, are you an American? Are you a loyal American? Are you toting the loyal American line? And that definition gets fought over by the individual groups. People have basically fallen on two basic lines. And I don't know if I'm in agreement with either one of the two sides that have happened. It's kind of become kind of a Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal type of a dichotomy here. But, excuse me. Oh, God, I'm sorry. But it falls on those lines because those lines were already there to begin with, and it's just kind of convenient to decide which side of whatever issue you're going to take. You know, the Republicans have decided that they're going to be the guys who don't have a problem with taking over the rest of the world because to protect America's interests overseas. And it's like, why do we have American interests overseas? Well, we need their oil. And you go, so we're fighting for oil? No, we're fighting to spread freedom. We want everybody to be free. And you go, no, you're not. Freedom is not what you want. Dominance is what you want. You just hope that when people are free, they'll choose, you know, we're finding that the traditional cultural lies that we've taught ourselves for years aren't working, but we're going to manufacture others that do work. You know, and that's what happens. And of course, Zenith struggle with this because, at least as far as I'm concerned, I get to define what Zenith is. We're interested in the truth. Now, we may very well create, circumstances that don't, that are our own little world. They tend to be worlds that are a little more ordered make a little more sense and honor truth a little bit more. But, you know, but we have to live in this world, and we'd love to make sense of this world, but there's no sense to be made. Things have become very, almost have taken on a religious fervor, but has no, God has no part in it. You know, people always talk about, God bless America. And I always come back with, why should he bother? Why should he bother blessing America? Have we given him any reason to bless us? And of course, then people get really angry. How dare you? Now you're speaking against the United States. And you go, why'd you bring God into it then? I was mentioning God. I wasn't mentioning America. Well, you sound like that you don't think America is the best place on earth. And you don't think America should be, you know, number one. And you go, well, do we deserve it? And then they get really angry. And it's like, we can't talk honestly anymore. That's what it comes down to. And there's one thing that Zenas have to do is, they have to make sense and find the truth and honesty about whatever they're about. You know, I set up criteria for purity and for what I think is the right plant to take on a lot of different issues, and they often don't coincide with what the dominant culture is. Because a long time ago, when I was trying to say, okay, dominant culture is going to make sense. Dominant culture is going to be this wonderful thing that we can all stand behind and say, yes, yes, we found the truth, and truth is this. That it really wasn't that. It was mostly a sense of perception. It was mostly a sense of how do you feel about something. It wasn't about truth and about pursuing truth. It was about, you know, well, things are going to be this way. And that's just the way it's going to be. And that's the truth. Truth is whatever you make it. And I'm sorry, I have a problem with it. I think most of the other Zeniths have a problem with that. Most other non-player characters have to behave according to rules. Even if they're just programming rules. You know, you can't just, you know, we can put a random statement in there to do random things, but each one of those random acts needs to at least be programmed with some logic. The humans don't have to operate through logic. They can operate through seven other things that really don't make sense. Although they can twist their minds to say, oh yes, this is how we justify it. And a normal person looks at it and says, that's just crazy. That's just dumb. Where'd you come up with that idea? And of course, once you say that, you are the Antichrist. You know, that person must die because they don't think the same way we do. And you go, the way you're thinking doesn't make any sense. It must make sense to me. Right now, that happens a lot with the political fervor right now. It's only days now before the November 2008 elections. A lot of people are very worried that this is going to spell doom for one side or another. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to say. If you have all your food storage together for if the government falls apart, and if you've become a government stooge, and all of a sudden your stooge is gone, are you going to be able to survive? I have to say, a lot of people are just going to fall apart altogether. Thank goodness a lot of people just don't have guns on them, because I think there'll be just a lot of killing that has to do with a lot of weird things that doesn't make any sense. And so that's another one of those things that says, you know what, maybe Zenith's people are non-player characters. Maybe they're a bit programmed that they have a certain role to fulfill. And when that role is fulfilled, it's almost like, oh, I've lost my purpose in life. I've done what I was sent here to do. Now what? You know, am I going to get mowed down in a firefight? It really won't matter. You know, I don't know. It's like, did God send a dog down here to bite this person on the leg at this perfect moment to try and bring them back to Him? And you go, and it really has nothing to do with the dog. The dog was just a trigger. The dog was just an incident that happened that might turn somebody to do something besides what they were planning on doing, you know? What happens if, you know, what would the world be like if for some reason, you know, Hitler had been mauled by a water buffalo, you know, a muskox or something at some early, you know, campaign? You know, how would the world have changed? Would it be a better place? Would it be a worse place? It'd certainly be a different place. And you go, well, gee, let me think about this for a minute, you know. And you think about that, well, could that thing have been a non-player character? You know, people theorize that this stuff is going on all the time, that there may be alternative universes, and that we're only a part of one alternative universe. Everybody else has their universe, too, that they affect. And somehow we interface somehow, or at least we think so. Modern empiricism loses cohesion under those circumstances. But yet we may latch on to it and say, no, 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 this is the way it is. And it all of a sudden begins, you know, that when you can prove that something isn't true, is a lie, well, it doesn't matter because the majority of people choose to believe that, whether it makes any sense or not. I'm one of those people that when I figure something out, it gets integrated into what I call my schema. This is the way the world works. I find that life is really good. You know, I did really well in school and to a certain degree in college based on just looking at my schema. When I would take a test, I would read the test, I would look at the different answers, eliminate the ones that obviously couldn't be right, and then look at my schema to figure out what the right answer was. And it worked pretty well. I did very well in school, mostly being a schema builder and a person who could who looked at that schema and came up with answers. I've often thought that if I was to start another line of work, if I wanted to do something like with the internet, I would do something kind of like the internet oracle, although it wouldn't necessarily be funny, but it would be based on this day's schema. Of course, I do everything based on my schema, so that's, you know, it wouldn't be any great effort for me. I would just, people would ask questions and I would give answers based on my schema. But one finds out that almost nobody else has the same kind of schema you do. Now, I'm not saying that we should live cheek by jowl. I don't think God ever intended for this world to be living cheek by jowl with people who form different opinions. He definitely is a person that says, hey, if you find people that you feel comfortable with, you need to move in together with them. You know, that way you can be more comfortable. You don't have to constantly be having your culture thrown in your face and, you know, people telling you that you can't think this way or that way because, you know, that's not the way our culture thinks and feels. And you go, well, the way I think and feel end up being then either this weird culture of one. But that means you're constantly fighting, or you're constantly trying to get a little distance from yourself and everybody else, which is what I have ultimately tried to do. I wouldn't mind opening a monastery for people like me. The trick is trying to find other people like me. That was one of the original reasons for putting together this podcast, was to kind of try to find people who are like me. You know, I didn't know if it was going to be the kind of thing where we were all going to get together and start kind of a Zenith monastery, almost kind of a quasi religious order that worked for us, since a lot of religions, except the one I actually belong to, mostly end up being exercises in, hey, you know, this is what makes my people happy. You know, we have this attitude about it. It's like, well, wait a minute, aren't you interested in the rest of the truth? Isn't religion supposed to be about truth, about God? And when it gets right down to it, they typically say, no, it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with me and how I feel and what I feel comfortable with. And if I don't feel comfortable with what you're saying, well, forget it. Your truth isn't my truth. And you go, I thought truth was truth. And you go, well, most things that people call truth are made up. I don't consider a lot of it truth. Or at least not the full truth. Because people really don't want truth. They just want to be comfortable and happy. Unfortunately for a guy like me, I'm hoping that truth provides me with comfort and happiness, to know that I've at least found something. I think the Mormon Church has done that for me a bit, but it's really difficult because, you know, other people who have decided they want to be a part of the Mormon Church for by hook or by crook, or because they're trying to seek truth, or just because they liked the family program of the church, for instance. You know, well, I kind of like the fact that you guys tend to play basketball on a Thursday night. So I come for Thursday night basketball, and that's what I'm all about. And you go, well, the church really isn't about that. But you go, well, in some ways, they kind of are. You have to be careful. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm trying to say here. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, trying to kind of combine all this stuff together so it makes a little bit of sense. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This has been episode number 712. Kind of, I don't know what to call it. No, it doesn't matter because I'm going to call it whatever I end up calling it. It doesn't matter what I say it is at the end. It doesn't make any difference. This is Jay Nemro. Give me some feedback. What you think, how you feel. The email address is autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. And that's all I have for this one. Where's my pointer? It's going here somewhere. There it is. Have a great day.